So I'd get an alarm call in the middle of the night that would wake me up, and I'd be like, okay, is it really a problem?
So people know, we're not talking about alarm clocks.
No, we're talking about the security alarm. So I was sending them like straight up texts like, you know, it would be really nice to get a good night's sleep. And realizing they didn't see the humor in that, they thought they saw me when they said, Dave is so mad at us because they didn't know me. And one of them said, we just need to leave this internship now. And then I felt terrible because I said, no, I was a little bit annoyed, but I wasn't mad. You know, it's funny for a while. And then we've been having a lot of fun. They've been setting it off about once a week, even in the middle of the day. So it's been pretty hilarious.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better, so together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. We are here with my very good friend, Dave Boehm, who brought to us this Sunday week 2 of our summer series in the book of Colossians. And I said I'd figure it out last week. Here it is, week 2. I still haven't figured it out. Do you know, is it 9 weeks? How many weeks?
It's 9 weeks. All right. I was told it was 9 weeks. I think you got that. Think of 9-inning a baseball game.
Okay.
With no extra innings.
All right.
Nine innings.
9 innings.
Summer baseball.
Yeah.
You got it.
Karen does not like extra innings. Let's keep it to 9 weeks. 9 weeks of Colossians, and here we are at week 2, where you got to share just like 2 or 3 verses out of the book of Colossians.
I got half of chapter 1.
It was crazy.
Which is like the depths of some theology of Christ and deity and humanity all woven in together that really should be like 6 messages, at least 4. So I was pretty overwhelmed a month ago beginning to sort through that passage of what to communicate in basically 25 to 30 minutes.
Well, let me make it even more challenging for you, because the first question we always ask our guests is, give us your sermon in 60 seconds.
Yeah, 60 seconds is tough, but I'll try. But really, I titled it Gospel Perspective, because really trying to take Paul's words in that passage of understanding the preeminence, the power, the provision of Jesus Christ in his life, and Paul's perspective on that, how it impacted Paul and his identity in life as a servant, and then giving him purpose in life as he sought to live that out, but not only live it out, but communicate that as he is writing a letter to a church in Colossae that needed to hear this message that basically all of life needs to be brought into every aspect of someone's life needs to be brought into the perspective of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and trying to make that front and center in what he's writing and what he's teaching and preaching that, and then making it relative to us today.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I think you did that in about 45 seconds. Well done, my friend.
Yeah.
So, we were talking last week with Nate about the fact that in some ways you're getting, you know, 9 identical messages, which is Christ is supreme, right? Christ, he is the fullness of God. We are to be full of him. So you preach that message. We're all going to preach that message.
Right. It's woven through the whole letter.
Right.
And it's a short letter.
Uh-huh.
So that's what Paul was trying to drive home to those Christ followers in the first century.
Right. But then you were trying to make it real in our lives. How does that shape purpose, identity, trying to remember the other things, provision, there was a few other things in there, but there's so many ways in which Christ, you know, is supreme. And then you flesh that out with just what that looks like, you know, in a life. One reason I appreciate, you know, well, I think I don't know if we've shared on the podcast or not. You and I have known each other over 30 years. It might be 35 at this point.
Coming up on 35, probably.
35 years.
Yeah, 34.
You know, that we've known each other.
35.
So, again, to see someone, I just think preaching this message, you know, hearing a message from a person who has had as much life experience as we've both had. You've had a couple years more than me, but we're pretty similar, you know, in age, and you've had a lot more years in ministry. But to speak, you know, from that perspective, and then you brought out the illustration of and you brought your track meet experience and the rest of it to the whole image of running a race, you know. You even divided up the 4 laps of a mile for us and kind of gave us some time with each of those. But I have asked in previous weeks, what's been the personal journey for you as you prepared this message. But you kind of already answered that for us. You really talked in a very transparent way, in a difficult way, about tough stuff in your life and what the message of Colossians meant for you. Can you recap that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good thought. I probably had most of that message outlined, or that at least that text read through and parsed a little bit and researched, so trying to synthesize those thoughts maybe a month ago, at least 3 or 4 weeks ago, and was, okay, got this, this makes sense, is how I'm going to put it together. And then I had to, in the middle of that process, this devastating news that just knocked the, for lack of a better term, knocked the wind out of my sails, caused some anger, caused some resentment, some sadness, all mixed in, just a questioning of like, I'm done with church, kind of like, this is like, if this is going to happen, all the good things to do. And then you felt like, really? And I didn't question my own faith. I just felt like, I don't need anyone else to help me. I'm just going to go live in the woods and just me and God. And my son and I used to have this little thing between us, my oldest son, Dan, and we had hiked chunks of the Appalachian Trail together. We maybe did 50 or 60 miles in Virginia. We've done half of Connecticut. I've done a few other sections. We're a long way off from doing the whole thing, okay? But he would say, Dad, you know, when things aren't going well in life, I think you just get on the Appalachian Trail and start hiking one way, and you just keep going until God straightens it all out. And so I thought, that's really good advice. I'm going, you know? And there is some truth to that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes people will bring an illustration that's very personal to them, as yours was, but a lot of us are walking through that same thing with you. Right. So it's something that we're all sharing and all trying to process. And it's, and the message of Colossians, I mean, one thing we said right away to each other is, you can't put people on a pedestal. Right, you can't put your trust, you know, in other people. So I think it obviously shakes our trust, you know, misplaced.
And it's people, and sometimes it's even like a church, it's an organization, because we're imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna in the process of a normal week let each other down,
you know? Yeah.
And perhaps not sinfully, but just by making a mistake, you know,
right.
And yeah,
right. Right. Yeah. And I think even further for me, it's the, we talk about how can we even trust, you know, others? I'm reading about this too, just in terms of forgiveness and trust and the rest, trust others. But for me, I've even started to think about myself. You know, here's a man who deceived himself. How do I deceive myself? Right. You know, how are the ways? And I think where it came to light for me in your message was when you gave the illustration of having the right perspective. What is going to prevent so many ills? What is going to keep us on the right track in the right direction is you have to have your eyes right down that starting line or right down that finish line if you are truly going to see the truth, you know, what's there. If you look to the left or to the right. Because I know that for me, I'll step to the left or the right, just, you know, I'll just deceive myself about a few things, you know, it's just like, here's this little bit of compromise. Do I really need to confess it? You know, do I really need to, you know, here's a little lie or shame of the truth or some compromise of integrity or some ways in which I'm just, you know, prioritizing myself. And I'll think it's a little thing. And we just need to be reminded of how big a thing it can be. So,
yeah, that's that's certainly an accurate way of describing that. And yes, you can be just a little bit off, like when you know that example I spoke with you, the finish, looking down that finish line, realizing you've got to be looking straight down to catch who's coming across first, second, and third. Sometimes are really, really close, and you've got two people trying to call that in a track meet during the week when you don't have the cameras, like you're doing a big invitational and everything's electronic, and they'll break it down slide by slide, and so they can see it. And it's kind of fun sometimes to see if you're as good as the camera, you know, if you are that good. And obviously in the 100 meters where they're coming through so fast, it's so difficult. But the thing is, you can just be just a slight bit off, and you can't come close to making that accurate call, and you know it because you're not there. Just a couple degrees, or not even that much, you're a little off, you don't have that angle anymore. And I think there's some application to that in our life when Christ isn't central, when he's just kind of off on the side, or I'm off on the side, and it's like, now I'm really not thinking gospel-centric in my life because I'm not looking at things front and center, and my perspective is skewed in my spiritual life.
Right. Any thoughts on how you keep from drifting left or right? What is it for you that keeps your perspective sharp? I mean, are there practical things you think about? Is it things you do? Is it things you have, you know, you are accountable to others on? Is it, what are the things that, you know, seem to keep it?
No, that's a good question. I think
keep the main thing, the main thing, I guess.
You know, for me, part of it is, you know, having some good godly friends around me that are quick to that I can talk to.
Uh-huh.
And my wife will be quick to remind me of, you know, hey, we need to look at this way. We will talk to each other about, are we seeing this like we need to see this, and having those discussions. And she's quick to say, hey, we've got to look at this biblically from this perspective. And I know that. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things, you know, but you need someone else to speak that into you as well. And it's interesting, like my first reaction was like, oh, I'm done with people, I'm done with church. So I'm saying to myself, I'm done with the people who can most help me. You know, and it's like, and then the whole thing, you can get off the rails and get very, very far from,
right,
from front and center, and from being, mm-hmm, you know, gospel centric and having the perspective that you need to have in life.
Yep.
So yeah, that's, and you know, I think you just, a big part of it is it regularly listening to the word.
Mm-hmm.
We heard in W3 this week in our weekly meeting. You weren't there. You were coming back from
Europe.
No, I was
away. Yeah.
And I think Lewis brought up just how much Drew's message, the topic was gluttony, but it was really a message about the heart and all these things, mm-hmm, we tried. And I was like, you know, that, yeah, it went far beyond the topic of food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was personal. It was like, here's what we try to fill our life with. And so I'm saying that all because we need to hear those messages spoken into our life on a regular basis.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I know that I said during pre-preach, I mean, sometimes I'll listen in pre-preach and I'll take a whole bunch of notes, I'll have this stuff, but honestly, you know, for you, I was very captivated. I mean, you're a friend, so that flavors it, right? Because I know your life, and I know you walk your talk. But I was just, I think I said it wasn't a commentary on the text; it was an experience of the text. So you just brought, you know, so much life experience, you know, to it. And I loved your illustration about when we get this right, we're servants. Mm. And then what it meant for you to see someone who had a high position and yet was a servant. And I'm talking about, I think it was Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, yeah.
But who are some of the big servants? I mean, for me, I would say you're one of those servants because, you know,
and it gets 24/7. It gets uncomfortable to sit here and have someone say that about you because it's I have bad attitudes like everyone else.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. You and me both, yeah, buddy. But there's, you know, there's so many times where just, yeah, off the clock, you're not an 8-to-5 guy. I mean, anytime, night or day, you know, someone has a need, you know, you're going to respond to it. There's so many, you're the front line responding to a lot of the people who wander onto our property and, you know, have needs or whatever, and just have always responded well. But I'll let you move the light away from yourself, you know, and just mention who are the people that you've, you know, where you've seen who they are in Christ, you know, make them servants, rich or poor.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe a number of people I'll mention at Northridge, they're older and maybe don't listen to the podcast, so it's safe. I can use their names because they won't be happy with me that I mentioned. But, you know, we have a number of people still serving God faithfully here well beyond 20 years beyond normal retirement. In other words, they were serving faithfully while they were working, retired from their full-time careers, and then added more to their plate here. And I'm talking about a Jeff Mapes, you know, who is in the next decade, you know, of life. He's finishing that fourth lap. He's coming around the far turn now, and he can see the finish line. And he just keeps on going. And Bob Garnum is going to be 92 in a few months, I think, in the fall. And Bob still comes in on a weekly basis, and is twice a week, and does gardening. And he is apologizing to me Sunday morning because his wrist is not working like it used to work. He's, I don't know if I can do all that anymore. And I'm like, and I said, Bob, take a rest, take a couple Advil, you'll be good. And that was really pastoral, you know. But knowing Bob, he'll probably figure out a way to keep serving. Mm-hmm. Sandy White. Finances all these years, right. You know, of just continuing, right. Decade mm-hmm. after decade, and no one will know mm-hmm. behind the scenes the amount of time voluntarily that some of those people have given to the cause of the gospel.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've celebrated a lot of people who have finished the race well, or close to finishing it well, or hitting it stride. I mean, in your illustration, Drew is only on his second lap. Our lead pastor is only in the second lap. He's doing great. We love Drew, you know, and just a long way to go. But what would you say to someone who steps off the track first? What do you say to someone who steps off the track as a track official? And what do you say to someone who's inspired, by, what you shared, but says, hey, in life, I stepped off the track. What can you say to me?
Yeah, certainly there's some rules in track that break down when you bring the gospel into this. Because
every metaphor breaks down.
If you step off and gain an advantage, you can't step back on. And mm-hmm. and different things like that. You can't leave a lane in certain races. You can't step off. You know, there's all kinds of things. But you know what? In life, because of the gospel, because mm-hmm. of who God is, and because of what Christ accomplished on the cross and what Paul talks about, that we've been reconciled to him. Mm-hmm. The provision made for us because mm-hmm. Jesus paid it all and took care of that void in our life, took mm-hmm. care of the sin problem once and for all. Yeah, we're going to struggle, and there are going to be times where people have struggled deeply enough, where mm-hmm. they've walked away for a period of times. But what happened to the prodigal son? And mm-hmm. and the father stood there waiting and saw his son from across the field, mm-hmm. Waiting for him to return home. And what a picture that is of a loving God graciously waiting patiently for reconciliation and restoration, and things are going to be made better, and we're going to celebrate. And I think we need to remind people of that on mm-hmm. a regular basis, because the depth sometimes of messing up, because some people have said to me, I'm so discouraged, I cannot come back to church. Especially people struggling with addictions.
Sure.
And how many times that brings them down, and they've lost a relationship mm-hmm. again, and a job again, and a friendship again, and they've lost all this trust, and they have to start over again. Your heart goes out to people like that, that their life has been devastated through some of those sinful habits that just grab such a hold of themselves that it's this continual, I got to stay on the track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for some of them, I just think that they may have an opportunity to understand the gospel even more than us. I mean, mm-hmm. we deceive ourselves, delude ourselves with, how fortunate God is to have us on the team sometimes, which is pure baloney. It's so far from the truth, but it's just a little more, it's an opportunity, mm-hmm. to see the gospel. And so that's where it breaks down, right? You don't get to step back on the track, but Jesus said to Peter, you can step back on the track 70 times, seven times.
You get it. In the official score sheet, you get a DNF by your name, did not finish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true in Christ's eyes. If you step back on and you keep going,
right,
you're going to finish, even if you've got to limp across, even if your last lap isn't like you're coming home strong, but you're limping in, even because of the ravages of sin and the devastation of sinful decisions, you have found grace at the cross, and you know that Christ has paid it all for you.
Right.
You can be welcomed at that finish line. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I always remember you and I both knew. You knew, worked closely with Ralph Gruenberg. I'm pretty sure his life verse was Philippians 1:6. He would like sign almost everything
right.
with it.
Yeah, he jogged who, my memory.
Yeah. yeah, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Will
complete it.
Yes. So when you step off the track, you know, God, you know, just know, thankfully, you know, the verdict was already in, you know.
In Paul's heartbeat in that second section that I read, that the last part of chapter one, there was his call to move people toward maturity in Christ, presenting them mature in Christ. And he labored strenuously. You know, he works, you know, intensely to accomplish that in the lives of that church, the people he was writing to in the first century.
Right, right. So step back on the track, because it's God who finishes the race for us. All right. Well, listen, again, thank you, my friend. Always appreciate you know the wisdom you bring, the encouragement you bring.
Thanks for having me. No, it's good. Good to see you. Glad you're back home.
Yeah,
it's great to see you today.
Great. And a special treat for you podcast listeners is through the summer series, you get to see a few different faces. So come back next week. We'll continue to see new faces and to unpack the message of Colossians.